And this is KWMR at 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, 92.3 in the San Geronimo Valley. We are listener-supported West Marin Community Radio, streaming live and archiving online at kwmr.org. Programming support for KWMR is provided by Marin Agricultural Land Trust, a member-supported nonprofit organization working to preserve Marin County farmland, on the web at malt.org. That's malt.org. And now it's time for Epicenter. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m., featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. I'm your host, Jeff Manson, and today our guest is Minister King X, activist, musician, and program director for California Prison Focus, a grassroots organization that works to abolish the California prison system in its present condition, with a focus on ending long-term solitary confinement and monitoring abuses and conditions inside California prisons. He's joined by one of his coalition members, Jay, and thanks both of you for coming on the KWMR airwaves today.
And thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. And also we have C-Note, one of the incarcerated people.
Oh, fantastic. And so a lot of your work is centered around amplifying prisoners' voices here in California, and I'm glad that we will be hearing some of those voices today. I thought first, however, that our listeners would be interested in getting a little bit of background. When did you first start working with incarcerated people in California, and how did you come to that doing that work in your life?
Well, my backstory, it goes far as back as Juvenile Hall and California Youth Authority, so, and also the federal prison. So in 95, I went to the federal prison, then I was transferred to state prison in 2000. And in 2000, that's when I met Cino, who's here, one of the incarcerated people. But what happened in 2011, we had a mass hunger strike against long-term solitary confinement. And what happened when they was putting us in solitary confinement, for some of the literature we was reading, whether it was Aztec literature, African literature, and we was just reading this literature just to learn more about self or learn law or how the system worked or dealing with implicit biases, and we were subjected to long-term solitary confinement, sometimes even for 1030s, and 1030s are confidential informant documents. So what happened out of the hunger strike, basically we came up with this agreement to end hostilities, because we felt like if we're going to centralize together behind any common cause to end long-term solitary confinement, first thing we have to do is put our petty quarrels to the side. And once we settle our quarrels, agree to end all these hostilities among our cultures, and then we began to do culture exchange. So that was in the early 2011. And then 2013 is when the strike, actually it was 30,000 people who engaged in this. And then when I came, while I was inside, one of my members, my colleagues, Kim Pollack, Penny, and so many different coalition members that was part of the Prison Hunger Strike Solidarity Coalition, they used to come pull us out to do, California Prison Focus used to pull us out to do prison reports. And that's when I should exchange my, I want to get involved. It was a force where we talk about inadequate health care, inadequate medical treatment. These things exist in society, prison system, but society is a microcosm of prison, and admit that there's people who change their lives inside of the system. So, and 2019.
Well, you know, the connection's getting a little bit hard to hear. I'm worried that the reception isn't great, but what I'm hearing from you is that there there are these injustices that exist both within the California prison system and outside of the California prison system as well. Did I get that right?
Right, right. So I'm
Are you there? We might have lost you.
I'm still here.
Oh, good, good. You know, California is, you know, what a lot of people understand as a progressive state, right? We've got the fifth largest economy in the world, and there is this enormous wealth in places like Marin County, and yet the disparity between the rich and the poor in this state is wider, and in this county is wider than almost any other place. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about Article 1, Section 6, in which incarcerated people are subject to not only these difficult conditions, but also forced labor inside of prisons in California. I wonder if you could connect some dots for our listeners about how that kind of situation in California prisons is related to structural racism at large in this country.
Yes. So we have a coalition that we just started, ABC, Abolish Bondage Coalition, and it's taking a direct aim at the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment in the second clause, it stipulates no one should be objectively subjected to involuntary servitude except the captive. So that word except is something that we have to amend, because here it is in 2021, men, women, and youth, those that's incarcerated, are being forced to participate in some type of labor program. And if they fail or refuse to work, they're going to be subjected to a disciplinary action. And if they get a disciplinary action, which is called an RVR, Rule Violation Report, or 115, and then they're going to lose good time credits. Now, that's no different than peonage. When back in the early 1600s, 1800s, when we talk about 1865, you know, the historical miscarriages for those new Africans that were subjected to slavery back then, where here we are dealing with mass incarceration, and you have people not going home because they didn't get enough programming. And the only way you're going to be part of these programs is if you're forced to deal with CDCR, arbitrary policy and procedure. We feel that that's wrong, especially when you have elders that's incarcerated who can't work because of they sickness and whatnot. You know, and when you think about the 13th Amendment, this is something that should have been amended when Abraham Lincoln said we was free. So the bigger question is, no one is free, especially behind bars. And that's why we came out with this thing called Uncaged Slave, so we can have a bigger discussion about it. And we agree to bring some of these men and women home now after 30 or 40 years. You have people like Chip Fitzgerald, who was a longtime political prisoner. He died because of his opinion. He died because he refused to be part of a draconian system. So, but again, I think C-Note probably, because he's actually dealing with it right now, I think he could probably really talk about it even more, because it's live.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hear from C-Note.
Yes, I would like to speak about that. And let me say this. Here in liberal California, in 2020, late 2020, Governor Newsom passed a elderly parole release thing. If a prisoner has done 20 years, if he's over 50 and done 20 years, they're eligible to go to a parole board and get released. And some people have been released. However, the law had excluded four classes of prisoners. One with people sentenced to death, one with other people sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, people who killed a police officer, cop killers, and three strikers. Now, under the three strikes law, you have people in prison for stealing aspirin. So I don't understand, and they're not getting cut loose, parole board not cut loose. In 2012, the state of California passed Proposition 36, I know five people went home from that, probably five more who should, who didn't. In 2014, we passed Proposition 47 to get people to – I know nobody went home from that. And in 2016, we passed Proposition 57. And I know no one who went home from that. I know everybody went to parole board under that, has been denied 5 years. A gentleman who just went to the parole board, a model prisoner, almost 69 years, is denied 5 years under this Proposition 57. I have a friend who all he's in prison for is delaying an officer from doing his count in the county jail. And he's been in jail for over 20 years, was denied 5 years. And so my issue about this great liberal state, why did our both Democratic legislators and our Democratic governor exclude three strikers when you pass this elderly parole stuff? In fact, you claim you're putting three strikers in the same moral equivalent as cop killers. And we know that we have cases that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court from California for a guy who stole some videotapes and a guy who stole golf clubs.
Yeah, it's really striking to me just the differences in treatment between different U.S. citizens in this country, and the things that people can end up incarcerated for life for. So thank you for your perspective there. I wanted to kind of think about this current moment for you. C-Note, you are currently incarcerated here in California. We've just been through a really crazy year for anybody inside a prison or out with the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a big subject. It's probably worth an entire radio show. But briefly, could you share with our listeners your experience with COVID-19 and being incarcerated at this time?
I wrote an article. It's called "Coronavirus and a Prisoner's Relationship with Death" to help people out. But it's very highly mismanaged.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm speaking about currently what's going on. They're opening up the prison. They're having us walk the child and stuff like this and come in contact, but they stop testing, contact trace testing. The vaccines was created to deal with the virus as it existed out of Wuhan. We have so many variants now, it's not even funny. So no one is even testing in here for that. And, a lot of people don't want to get tested, prisoners and prison guards and prison and nurses and other people that's affiliated with coming inside the prisons don't even want to get tested. So just like they're having new outbreaks in back east, I'm pretty sure it's also going to happen here in our prison system because it seemed like they done gave up.
Yeah. And we did see earlier in the year in San Quentin here in Marin County, the huge difference in infection rates within the prison compared to within the rest of the county. And that's, an issue that affects us all across the Bay Area, of course, because we've got prison staff coming and going every day in and out of the prisons, people traveling across the counties. I'm curious about the vaccination program. Are vaccines being made available to prisoners at this time?
I'm a person who took the Moderna vaccine, and let me just say my personal experience behind that. It's a two-tier vaccine, so they go over to 30 days because you got to be done within 30 days. And the prison guards tell me when I'm, in a state of panic, hey, we went over 30 days, or they say you can go another 2 weeks. I'm like, in my mind, I hate to use this word, I'm like, heck no.
Yeah.
That's not. They didn't get approval from the FDA or whoever, Food and Drug Administration, that it could be 45 days. You have to be vaccinated with the second shot in 30 days. And so I got to think the second shot in day 32, but that was my own personal experience. They recently just came around and said, oh, we have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine available, and gave people those shots. This was prior to the that's a vaccine that's no longer in use.
Right, it's being being paused. Right, as people look into potential side effects, possible side effects that are happening. Yeah, absolutely. Huh. Well, friends out there, if you're just joining us today on the Epicenter program, I've got my guest, Minister King X, who is an activist, and he has brought us and facilitated at least one voice from inside prison walls here in California. C-Note, thank you so much for your perspective on this really important topic for all Californians and all people on this earth. I'd like to pivot back to Minister King X. I'm so impressed with this work and being your work bringing these voices to us. And it's striking to me how divided we are as a culture and how many people don't hear these voices on the daily. So I thank you for your work with that. You're also a musician and a songwriter. Could you tell our listeners, how does that practice fold into your work with prisoners?
Well, I mean, you know, inside, sometimes we're censored. If you don't have newspapers like California Prison Focus or the San Francisco Bayview, and now the uncaged slave, the incarcerated class really don't have a voice. Unless they have coalitions like the Prison Hunger Strike Solidarity Coalition, coalitions like No Justice Under No Justice Under Capitalism, MIM newsletters, All of Us or None. So then those people are able to write us letters and hear our voices. And a lot of times, if we can't articulate it in a letter or article, you get poetry or you get art. So being an artivist, meaning an activist and an artivist, I'm able to take these spoken words, these spoken flows, and tell you about law and tell you about shared humanity. And like, for example, I have a piece that you'll be playing called World on Fire, and how that came about. The coalition, No Justice Under Capitalism, was talking like, hey, you know, this going on with the fires. And I said, hey, we need to talk about this through the culture and art so the youth masses, the millennials, and the Generation Z can really know. Because I always use this thing about smart people. If I don't know some, you may know some that I don't know, because we're all walking encyclopedias. But just imagine if you take the street smarts and the book smarts and put them together, and then we work as a community to take our culture and arts and create action items. And that's with my coalition member, Jay. She's an artivist, and she does a lot of work, a movement building, this is how I'm able to get this type of material out there.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that, you know, art is a universal language. So a lot of these topics, you know, it might be difficult to approach on paper, but when you hear it through a song, it's you understand on a deeper level what they're talking about.
Well, I want to play that song for our listeners now. This is a song called World on Fire. Here we are. We're at Earth Day. We're in a world of crisis, environmental crisis, climate change, and nowhere is it more evident here in California than in our extended fire season. This song starts off with a voice saying, no justice under capitalism, no firefighters stepping out of prison. And let's let the song speak for itself now. I'm going to play it all the way through, but I want to hear more about that, about the relationship of incarcerated people and firefighting in California. It's one of the most important jobs, I'd say, that any Californian can do, is protect us from this increased climate change-driven wildfire, and yet there's a lot of injustice there. So we're going to hear more about that when we come back in just a moment. Here's the song, World on Fire.
That we have not raised the sufficient level of resistance to this madness.
No justice under capitalism. No firefighters stepping out of prison. Prisoners unite. Families break the system. Grab the water hose, sip it. Then it's our turn. Like burn, baby, burn.
The 11 cents an hour.
cats moving. How you wanna die? Do you wanna get gassed up? Or do you wanna fry? Where there's water, there's life. Carbon nitrogen strikes. I smell fumes from 16 different moons. Jupiter's about to blow. Mother Earth gon' flow with the flame. Devil, released from the pain of being in dungeon for 2,000 years. Physical world is here in our atmosphere. CFC interact with the ozone layer. Hanging on your arm, another flame swarm from the sun. Hey, lady, Candy, grab your children and run away from California, where the earthquake shake and break into a new island. Look, the world is on fire. No justice under capitalism. No firefighters stepping out of prison. Prisoners unite, families break the system. Grab the water hose, sip it. Then it's our turn. Like burn, baby, burn. Zombies, face masks and Tommies. Zigzag and watch me. Ushalama front back on side me. Who is that I sniped him? Lift yourself up, bootstraps tied up. Yep, we fried up. Box matching simple. My gun barrel hot enough to fry crystal. I move above ground through the system. No justice, no deuces. I just jog jab to the music. They apologize out of convenience, so we don't crash the computers. Spray paint the walls, grab bags from looters. Damn, they fighting and looting. Do you want the red pill or the blue one? Media matrix spread rumors from your hot grill, bad influence. Pig face, stop taking one knee like you trying to get an academy. That lady fired up, threw ash on him. Lava.
That's World on Fire from our guest today on Epicenter, Minister King X. Wow, that's some powerful stuff. Inmate firefighters in California, that's something that's gone back to World War II. California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, they work with Cal Fire, and there are many, many incarcerated folks who do that important work of keeping us safe from wildfires and the very difficult work. I'm curious about your perspective about that work and any details you could share with our listeners about what it means to be an incarcerated person in California fighting wildfires.
Well, if I can step in real quick, you know, first off, sure. I would just like to say that for the longest time, these people who were fully trained to fight fires were being, when they were released, they could no longer apply to be a firefighter, which I think is crazy because fires have become a season in the state. You know, we have summer, we have fall, we have fires.
And we're lucky it's just a season, not all year long at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these prisons are in areas that are very vulnerable to fires. And, you know, we saw with Vacaville, they were just left there to breathe in the smoke. And, you know, now with two-thirds of the California prison population having had COVID, they have breathing problems now. And now this summer when the fires start up again, they're going to all be exposed to the smoke and exposed to the heat and exposed to these crowded prison populations. And that's just, it's just inhumane. And it makes me, you know, it makes me sick to my stomach to think about all this and how it's all related.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, it's just an extension of the, you know, brutalization of prisoners, and it's just another form of genocide.
Well, as expected, this subject is much bigger and much longer than we'll have time for today. But quickly, before our segment wraps up, I want to make sure we have a chance to talk about Agreement 2 with regards to prisoner release in California. Either one of you, could you speak to what Agreement 2 is and what are some of the hopes and goals that California Prison Focus is working on right now?
Well, I mean, So when we talk about firefighters coming out of prison, the firefighters, and I want to give a shout out to Rashid from Planet Justice, because he's one of the ones to speak high on this issue. He's a professional in this area because he was an incarcerated person dealing with firefighters. So he's still fighting for those returning citizens that had those rights. But again, in 2011 and 2013, we had this particular class, these elders, who established this agreement to end hostilities. So now we, No Justice Under Capitalism, Prison Hunger Strike Solidarity Coalition, Bayview Prison Focus, we drafted this document with the principal thinkers behind the walls, where we're demanding for a strategic community release board. And what we're basically saying is that we want people out in society to start helping making these decisions. Because when you have people incarcerated for 30 to 40 years, like Mamiya, when we think about Mamiya been incarcerated and he was subjected to COVID. Now he have a situation where he's sick. So when we saying that we want everybody 60 and above to be considered for expedited release immediately by the Strategic Community Release Board, in the interest of justice, we talk about people like Satawa, Natambu Jama, who actually helped draft the agreement to end hostilities. We're talking about people like Mamiya. And, I mean, I think Jay could give you a little more about that situation with Mamiya, because this is the type of people who we agree bring home.
Yeah, you know, and like with the agreement to come home right now, it's focusing California, but we hope for it to go national. And because Mumia, he's imprisoned in Philadelphia. He's a political prisoner who was framed for killing a cop. And the DA right now, he's refusing to look at his case. So, yeah, Mumia, he's imprisoned for being a black man who was exposing the corruption of the Philly Police Department. And he is also a victim of the repressive state. And it's important that we free him, because he is he's one of the most well-known political prisoners, and it would be a victory for the left to see him walk free and so break that cycle of imprisoning people on the left who are brave enough to speak their views. And we're actually, this weekend and Saturday, we're holding a rally in Oakland at Dr. Grant Plaza to demand his freedom on his birthday. So I hope that everyone can come out to that.
Right. So, I mean, again, so someone like in Demand 5, we demand an end to civil death by indeterminate sentencing, and that all those that meet any of the above, especially those who have a support system, adequate housing, jobs, et cetera, should be considered for expedited release immediately by the Strategic Release Community Release Board, in the interest of justice. So we believe that when men, women, and youth are subjected to life without or any type of life sentence, we go back to the draconian three strikes where Cino was talking about earlier, when people was incarcerated for a pizza or a bite. This should be no more.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Minister King X, Jay, Cino, thank you all for bringing your perspectives to the KWMR airwaves today. We hope to have you back on the air soon and regularly here bringing this important information to our listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on today.
And don't forget to subscribe to California Prison Focus. Go to prisons.org/action and see more and see how we all could get involved and work as a community for shared humanity.
Yeah. And if you want to learn more about myself, CNOTE, you can always go to the website cnote.org. Thank you.
Thank you all. Peace. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, and you can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. And it's just coming up on 11:30 a.m. It's going to be time for Right Now with your host, Mia Johnson, coming up in just a moment. First, however, allow me to let you know that programming support for KWMR is provided by the Dance Palace in downtown Point Reyes Station. grabbed the wrong one. KWMR is supported by our listener members and